We pray, Lord, lead us by your Spirit. Amen. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkennesses, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So you must just be horribly depressed and downtrodden right now. Like there's this big weight on your shoulders. Why? Because of what I just read. After all, Paul says, the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. In this section of Galatians, he's describing the battle that you've been fighting your entire life, and a battle that you can get pretty tired of. It's the battle inside of you between your sinful flesh and your new man, that heart of faith that God has put into you. And it can get pretty discouraging when we look at our lives and the battle doesn't seem to be going all that well. As he says, the works of the flesh are obvious. They're obvious to you. You might have noticed that list of the works of the flesh is characterized by this need to please me in everything, to get my way, to take everything that I want. And we do this all the time. Let me give you an example. Let's say you get a pizza with a couple of your buddies. So there's three of you, and there's the pizza. 8 slices, right? And you start eating, and you're really into that pizza. It's delicious. Somewhere during that second piece, you start eyeing the last 2 pieces. And you know that one of the three of you isn't going to get a third. And you start eating faster. That's the sinful flesh. Trying to get its own in everything. And it gets into everything that we do. And so we get weighed down. We feel the guilt as we notice all these things in our lives and all the ways in which we have gone against God and all the ways in which we're losing the battle. But Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, gives us some comfort in our text in 2 ways. And I'm going to use 2 phrases that you're probably pretty familiar with to explain what he means. First, in verse 18, a few verses before what we already read, Paul writes, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul's message here, no pressure. You've heard that phrase before, right? Your buddy's up to bat in the bottom of the 9th inning with 2 guys out, man on 3rd, and you yell, "Hey, no pressure." And of course, there is pressure. There's a great deal of pressure, but you're trying to lighten the situation. Because we all know that pressure can make you screw up. Whether you're playing sports or working a job or writing the test, pressure makes things more difficult. It also makes things far less fun, especially when you fail. But Paul tells us here that there's no pressure when it comes to our lives of sanctification, when it comes to the lives that we live producing fruit, good works. There's no pressure because you're not under the law. You are not subject to the curse of the law, so that when you fail, when you give in to the desires of the flesh, when you don't produce the fruit of the Spirit like you should, you are not condemned. Because of what Paul wrote earlier in Galatians, he said, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, He has sent His Spirit into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" By the grace of God, because of what Jesus did, the curse of the law has been removed completely, freely. Nothing that you do can condemn you, because Jesus took that curse in your place. And so, your situation now, the life that you live by faith, is a no-pressure situation. It's kind of like the difference between Going out for a walk or a jog on a nice day because you want to enjoy it, and being forced, or running for your life from a pack of wolves. It's kind of like the difference between going out fishing because if you don't catch anything, you and your family are going to starve, and going out fishing to enjoy it, whether you're going to catch anything or not. God puts us in a position to succeed. He takes away the pressure, gives us the power of the gospel, gives us His Holy Spirit, and produces the fruits in our lives, which are enjoyable for us, and praise Him for His glory. Paul gives us another little bit of comfort here too. You know, some people might say, well, you know, it's true, pressure can be bad, but it also gets things done, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I got assignments that are due way off in the future, it's hard for me to really get down to business. But as it starts to come closer, start to get a little pressure, my mind starts kind of working better, I start doing better work, I start doing more work. That, however, is not the motivation that God gives us. He's taken away the pressure and He gives us something else to motivate us, something else for us to aspire to. And that's what Paul says in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. As we're fighting this battle with our sinful flesh, and as we get discouraged, God gives us hope in looking forward and in recognizing who we really are. He says, be yourself. Now, the world uses that phrase a lot, doesn't it? But frankly, when the world uses it, it's kind of stupid. Because most of the time, they're talking to your sinful flesh. And they're saying, hey, you know all those things that you want to do, all those desires that you have, your flesh wants you to do? Just go ahead and do those things. Be yourself. Don't try to suppress it. It's from this line of reasoning that the gay rights movement has sprung. And the idea that you can do whatever you want, have sex before marriage, whatever, it doesn't matter. Paul's not saying that at all. He's saying the exact opposite. He's saying that sinful flesh that you have, those desires, that's not who you are. That's who you were. But when you came to faith, you crucified the sinful flesh with its passions and desires. It is dead because Jesus killed it when He died on the cross. And your real identity is Son of God. Your real identity, Paul says in Colossians, is hidden with Christ in God. And one day, when He comes again, your true self will be revealed so that you will be perfect, even as you are now perfect in God's sight through Jesus Christ. And this truth, the fact that you are a holy, righteous Son of God through faith in Jesus Christ, gives you hope and it gives you something to reach for. In Ephesians, Paul writes, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, he doesn't think that you're ever going to be perfect in this life because you're always going to have your sinful flesh. But it gives you something to reach for. In Philippians, Paul writes, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He knows who He is, perfect, and He reaches to be better. In a no-pressure situation with all the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel of your Savior behind you, you can produce fruits walking in the Spirit. Amen. We'll sing hymn 351, verses 2 and 4 of hymn 351.